From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hey, non sequitur.
You know, I should have thought of something to go here, but I didn't. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, today is Tuesday, February the 10th, 2009.
And this is show 027.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, let's look at the big board.
Yeah, we'll do the rundown.
124 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Woohoo!
Yeah, 58%. A nice bump up in the server fund, thanks to everyone who decided they wanted to pay to hear us prattle on.
And also thank you for when you donate in, completely random sets of numbers.
Oh, yeah.
We especially appreciate that.
23 cents kind of thing.
Yeah,
or just like, 23 cents.
Or, you know, $38.16. You know, things like that are always welcome.
Or like, you know, $2,000 and
20
cents.
Well, yeah, that too.
Poochie Corner, in which we discuss people who are discussing us. Nothing specific so much, but there's a lot of buzz about Geek Madness out there. A lot of participation.
Yeah. I mean, of course, everything's time shifted when you listen to a podcast, and it could be next week for all we know. But as of last night, as of this recording, the Penny Arcade Forum folks found out about Geek Madness and went and threw everything all upside down and in a dither and in a tizzy or whatever that thing is. So it's really like three out of the four races currently are sort of still anybody's ball game, I think.
It can all go completely haywire if they might be Giants fans really get a hold of it.
Yeah, they've never really chimed in, but if they do, this could get ugly.
Because that one is tight. Otherwise, there is an awful lot brewing in the Paul and Storm kettle right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to talk about it all because it's boring. We'd rather just, you know, when we're done with our stuff, give it to you to listen to and stuff. Or see, or hear, or taste. There could be taste involved here.
There could be.
There could be.
I don't know.
Maybe. Well, that depends
Certainly,
on our...
A plethora of senses may be involved.
Yes, so go to paulandstorm.com. There's a podcast tab if you don't know what we're talking about or if you want to join the Brigade of Minions, et cetera, on to the fresh. The fresh.
You said that so sexily.
Well, I'm calling back. If you've been listening a while, I had that horrible digression about the baked bread. And,
oh, yes, you did.
And how nice it is to smell fresh baked bread. And that's sort of where we are. We're done with the old business.
Time to open up the new fresh baked bread.
A nice can of oven fresh bread.
A can of bread. That's
can of bread.
That's the front
leading
runner
candidate.
So far.
Okay.
It's very early in the podcast, but that's the front runner of the title for this podcast.
All right. Paul. Have some categories for you to choose from, or you can ignore them and just, you know, talk about something
Throw
else.
Throw me the list.
Okay. Winner, winner, chicken for dinner. Jack Bauer's Island. Number 10 with a bullet. Howling at the television. And Grease Monkey.
Are any of those repeats from last week?
One of them I have put out under different titles for the past 6 consecutive weeks.
Let's do whichever one that is.
Okay, we'll see if it's interesting or not. Okay, that's Jack Bauer's Island.
Okay.
Was originally called Themes. Later it was called something else. But the idea is television theme songs. It used to be if you had a hit show or even a not hit show, if you just had a show on network television, it had a theme song and usually catchy. And I call it Jack Bauer's Island because, see, it's this contrast thing. Like 24, what does it have?
You're just ticking.
Yeah, dit, dit. That's it. Whereas Gilligan's Island had this whole thing, you know?
Yeah, they gave you the concept in the opening 60.
Right. And I think there are a lot of reasons for it. And of course, having posed this, I have my own theory. Mm-hmm. But you know, what do you think about that? Why aren't there as many theme songs? Like the last one I can remember that was at all big in popular culture was probably Friends.
Yeah, that was probably the last real big hit.
And that wasn't really a theme. It was just sort of a theme song. You know, it was just a song, a good song that happened to match kind of the ethos of the show,
the craptasticness that was that show.
Right.
I'm trying to provoke people by saying I never liked Friends, although technically I did like the first season. But looking back upon it now, I am ashamed by my liking, and I blame it on my incredible youth at the time.
You tried to get me to watch Friends, too. You're like, oh, the characters, they're all, they're just, you know, well, you can see I'm like this one. And,
I never pulled the which one are you like crap. That's where they lost me.
So
nonetheless, I will tell you exactly why there are no memorable theme songs anymore.
Okay.
It all has to do with commercials.
Okay.
For example, when we were children, back in the late 70s, early 80s, a half-hour television show, I believe, had 26 or maybe it was 25 actual minutes of content.
Mm-hmm.
Roughly around the time we were in high school, mid-late 80s, that got cut down to 24.
Yep.
And somewhere in the last 10 to 15 years, it got cut down to 22.
Hmm.
So now your average half-hour show has 22 minutes of actual content, sometimes a little less. And an hour show has like 41 to 42 minutes of actual content.
Well, that makes sense. You have a half-hour sitcom and you take a minute.
Given that your time has been whittled away, exactly. They don't want to waste, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, you know, recapitulating the concept of the show or wasting it on an opening credit sequence, so to speak.
See, I think that is part of it, but I have a crackpot theory as well.
Oh, well, let's please go with your ridiculous crackpot theory.
All right. Here's how the pot cracks. The theory is that there was an incentive to come up with a good theme song. Aside from the fact that music was sort of woven into culture more than it is today, I kind of think, what with Broadway sort of seeping into all areas of culture before like the 80s or so.
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. That if you had a really catchy song, people, it would stick with them. So not only would they remember the show, but they would want to tune in to hear the song because back in, you know, before the netherwebs and everything, you couldn't just, you know, hear a song whenever and wherever you wanted.
That's right. Your opportunities were far more limited.
Right. So couple that with the fact that most televisions for a long time didn't have remote control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'd hunker down in front of the TV because you wanted to hear, I don't know, the theme to Starsky and Hutch or whatever.
Or the A-Team.
Yeah, whatever got you off. All right. And you did so, and you heard the song, and you're sitting on your couch, and you probably have a snack and maybe a beer or a soda. And no remote, so you would just, you know, continue to watch that show and the whole slate of network shows that were on that night because, you know, there weren't a lot of cable options or the internet or anything like that.
Right.
So to heck with your, you know, oh, well, it just makes sense kind of theory.
No, I like your crackpot theory.
I think it's a combination of things, and there are other things, too. And, you know, if you folks have your own theories, the cracker, the potter, the better.
Or feel free to just tell us about your favorite television themes.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. I think we've expunged that. Let me have a review. Winner, Winner, Chicken for Dinner, Grease Monkey, and Howling at the Television.
Oh, Grease Monkey.
Grease Monkey. I'm glad you picked Grease Monkey.
Uh-huh. I knew you would be glad.
Yeah, thank you. This actually relates, it's sort of a Poochie thing, where this is a comment I read only about 4 or 5 hours ago related to the Geek Madness tournament we're running.
Mm-hmm.
And someone challenged the notion that Kaylee Fry from Firefly and Serenity is a geek at all, and saying that, you know, she has plenty of admirable traits, and there are good reasons to vote for her, but she is not a geek. She is a grease monkey. And that's my question to you, Paul, and to everybody out there, not just her in particular. It's just a jumping off point, but are grease monkeys geeks, or are they something else? And then what are the groups, like there are groups that behave in geeky ways, but what falls within sort of this umbrella of geekdom,
right?
And what is, okay, yeah, you share some of the traits, but you're not a geek.
Right. This sort of ties in with some discussion we were having. It was either last week or the week before, mm-hmm. where I was discussing the makeup of the Portland crowd when we performed there a few weeks back.
10-minute mark was 30 seconds ago.
Yeah. But how, you know, our performances, especially those when we perform with Jonathan Colton, the audience has a high geek population.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean the old stereotypical, you know, everybody's out there with a pocket protector and
right.
thick glasses, you know, the old nerd stereotype. You know,
right.
when you describe someone as a geek, it's harder to nail them down, because as you're hinting at, there are many, many sort of subdivisions of geekdom. I described, you know, like the ironic T-shirt wearing, shaved head, goatee, slightly rotund, reasonable social skills but still works in tech support geek. There's sort of the goth grouping of geeks, or the, I guess steampunk.
Well, right. And there's certainly a lot of I'm trying to categorize, you know.
Right.
And like I've sort of labeled all of that as sort of a cultural, or even you could call it escapist geekdom,
mm-hmm.
where you're sort of defining a tribe based on not necessarily a fantasy interest, but sort of a cultural world.
A non-mainstream cultural pattern
versus,
of behavior.
Like I would call nerds and even grease monkeys and computer geeks sort of functional
right.
geeks, where it's based on some skill, like, you know, you might not have a lot in common otherwise, totally different backgrounds, but two people who work in Linux, you know, they're going to get down and they're going to geek out.
Yeah.
You know? But where do you draw the line? Because you get the same thing in, say, like gardening, people that,
mm-hmm.
or religion, people who can sit down and quote Bible passages in a very geeky way, you know, but are they geeks?
Yeah.
Are they?
That's a very interesting question, because I was going to start delineating them by what sort of separates a geek from another type of obsessive is something that involves more of an intellectual and or sciences based pursuit.
Right.
But again, sort of what the line between a fantasy role playing type geek and a sort of biblical scholar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to say, you know, someone who overtly religious, but,
right.
you know, even so, like someone who's very into the Bible or into, you know, whatever religious text.
It's not,
you know, like
right.
like rabbis, or, you know, the sages in reading the Torah and discussing, mm-hmm. you know, Talmud stuff.
The Talmud stuff.
Blechachich.
And I actually think that in, as we're talking this, it's sort of coming out, that there are actually two different things here, and they're sort of interrelated but separate.
Mm-hmm.
One is sort of geek culture, and the other is more of a geeky personality, which can live within any strata of society or the world. So I don't know where that leaves us.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that's going either. Once again, I go back to the American Nerd book, who, again, the author I cannot remember off the top of my head. You know, it's over here on my bookshelf, so you just talk while I walk over to it.
Actually, it's funny you should mention that, because after I get around to buying it or borrowing it from you,
yes,
I'm going to read
it.
And
American Nerd by Benjamin Nugent.
Benjamin Nugent.
Subtitle, The Story of My People.
And, I would really do want to flesh this out. And even after the geek tournament is over, people are going to be kind of upset about this group or person that's not in and out. it's been really neat to read just about what people are talking about and to continue that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave it at that for now.
Right.
That we have thoughts on that.
Yeah. I forget where I was going with my reference of American Nerd. I guess it was that, you know, he tries to define nerds, at least, and you know, a subcategory of geeks, and you know, involving a intellectual or similar non-physical pursuit sort of at the expense of things mm-hmm. like social skills.
Right.
But it's broader than that.
Right.
Well, okay. And that's that. So
let's move on.
Yeah, let us move on. I wanted to say something.
Go.
I don't have any fancy cryptic title for it.
I'll come up with one after you've started.
Okay. And I don't want this to sound like pandering or that's not the right word, but for lack of a better one.
Well, we'll tell sense. We tell all the good people out there when we're pandering. So
yeah, that's
okay.
True. And I am sort of pandering, but not really. Here's what I, as a newly minted semi quasi famous person.
Okay, right. Being bacon t-shirt famous.
Yeah, bacon shirt famous. You and I spend a lot of time on the internet, an inordinate amount of time, I would say, certainly in my case, running Google searches for our names and our projects and seeing, you know, the whole Poochie Corner thing, seeing who's talking about us.
I've actually done less of that since Twitter has sort of become, a feedback machine.
That's true. I have not done that quite so much. Also, since we set up a few Google
alerts. Yeah, the alerts, right. Anyway.
It took the fun out of it. But nonetheless... this hit me when I was trying to fix the feed issues with episode 25, which I believe still is not up on iTunes and may never be.
It's still the lost
But
episode,
I noticed
yes.
under the listing for our show, as we have discussed in the past, we hover anywhere between about 1,500 and 2,000 listeners to this podcast, or downloaders at least.
Actually, I was thinking about that. It's really more than that, because that's about how many... download in a week, but if you look at the cum, like how many on
right.
average download each episode, it's much higher than that.
Right, that's true. But I mean, sort of regular, at least as far as like regular listeners, I would say that's a safe number, you know,
yeah.
that range.
Right.
And we have only 6 reviews of the podcast in iTunes. Now, by saying this, I don't necessarily want everybody to go and immediately put up a 5-star review about how awesome we are.
Right. Paul and Storm lols, you know, asterisk exclamation
yeah.
point.
And I don't necessarily want to direct everybody to go and do something silly, like everybody go put a review up on this podcast that uses the word kumquat or something like that.
Ooh, you know what?
What?
I would appreciate, like, if people genuinely, you know, dig it, and I don't think it's pandering to say we would appreciate it.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
But I think even more fun, or along with that, we should pick someone's podcast as a minion task and have folks write an awesome review for them, kind of a flash mob thing.
Oh, there we go.
So I don't know who. I haven't put any
I think they should,
this.
You know, they should listen to it and give it a positive review, assuming they do actually enjoy the show.
Well, yes.
Like, we don't want people to necessarily lie.
Right.
You know, then it becomes one of those sort of improv everywhere things. Like, I don't know if you saw the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, where they went to see a band.
Yeah, they went to some obscure band.
Memorized the words.
Yeah, like 150 people showed up, and they knew all the words, and they had shirts made. And, you know, we don't want it to be a disingenuous... thing. We don't want it to make somebody think we're punking them.
Right.
But, you know,
no,
again, sort of the idea of using our newly found bacon shirted fame for good.
Yeah, for
or,
good
and to advance things that we like and causes that we like and people whom we like.
Well, I guess Merlin Mann would be a likely candidate.
Well, except they're
they got their thing.
They've got their thing. They're hugely popular. They're like maybe the 5th most popular podcast on iTunes right now. They sure as heck don't need our help. Although,
yeah,
wonderful
right.
though they are. The You Look Nice Today gang don't really need us.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to research that, and next week send the minions out to go.
Or tell you what, if you have an idea on maybe there's another podcast, we won't get jealous that you enjoy
you've been listening to other podcasters behind our back
that you think that we would enjoy, and that well, how about our good friend Len Peralta?
Jawbone Radio, of course.
Yeah, Jawbone Radio.
He probably has many more listeners than we do as well, but, you know.
Probably.
Len's a good egg. Nora's a good egg. They're wonderful people. They're very talented, and they do an interesting podcast. Maybe they're the folks to go give some good reviews to.
And I think, if you Google Jawbone Radio, you'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a good bit of positive mischief.
There we go.
Good on you.
Let's see, we just passed the 20-minute mark. Can you think of any other pressing?
Well, yeah, there's actually something that that we do need some. Well, we don't need any advice on it. But winner, winner, chicken for dinner. You had sort of a Twitter jag where you were mentioning that. Speaking of Len Peralta. Len has done a number of posters for the Flight of the Conchords poster contest.
Mm-hmm.
And you remarked that, hey, you know, we're a comedic duo, maybe not with our own cable show, but
yeah,
still in the general classification, and that we should
genus,
run
at least. Yeah.
Genus. Thank you. We should have a phylum. We should have some kind of contest.
Yes, we need a contest.
And
I know what my personal front runner still is.
Well,
I don't know if it's yours.
Well, I don't have a front runner, and I think we should maybe even do regular contests so we can do them all.
Sure.
Just because I like food so much, I would love to do some kind of recipe contest.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into detail or not after they're all out there. We can do a poster contest or a t-shirt contest.
Have been done.
I know. Well, I'm just saying we could. We could. And we could put a twist on it. Or we can do like a mascot
We could contest. Do a slash fiction contest.
We could do a slash fiction contest. And what's your...
My front runner, I like the idea of an ongoing Paul and Storm science fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, people would put together some sort of science fair project, just like they would either in elementary school or junior high.
Right.
And it can be on any topic they want. It can be illustrating some sort of scientific principle or solving some problem or busting a myth, just like Adam Savage and Jamie Heineman. But we have to be involved in it actively somehow. Like, they either have to use us in the solving of the problem, or
it
can
be
about us somehow.
But we can't just be tacked on to some, like, say you work in the physical sciences and you say, okay, I'm going to call this element Paul and this element Storm, and
right.
You know,
that would be awesome if somebody wanted to name a species after us,
like Paul and Stormium. If you
an element Paul and Stormium.
Yeah,
it tastes like cheese. Yeah. But yeah, just like, you know, and it can take any kind of form. It can just be a web page. It could be a diorama. It could be a poster. It could be
a volcano, like
a
Bobby
volcano would be
from
awesome.
Brady Bunch. Yep.
Yeah, you could like drop us into the volcano, like sacrifices or something. I like that idea. I think it needs a little refining, but I like it also as a thing where there's not necessarily a winner.
Yeah.
So much as it's an ongoing thing, and when when a thing achieves our approval, you get some sort of award.
I'm with that. Although I think we should maybe that'll be our poll, is to say, come to the website and say what you think. What kind of contest should we have? And you can choose as many as you would actually want to either participate in or
see happen.
Like, you would want to see, you know, a science fair where Paul and Storm could conceivably be dropped into a baking soda volcano.
All right. Again, not that we're necessarily driving you in that direction, but we would not object to the volcano. I have one last thing.
Yes.
In case you didn't already have it. And that is, by the time this podcast comes out, we will most likely have completed our next Masters of Song Foo song.
Oh, this has been a trial.
It has. We won't get into terrible amounts of detail. Maybe we will next week. But we had a song idea, which is a good song idea.
Yeah, it's still a good song idea.
It just did not make
itself.
It didn't gel yet.
Yeah.
So in the last 24 hours, we have completely revised our song and are happy with it as well, although it still needs to actually get recorded and stuff.
I have a little tagger sure. bragger. It's a rock song, the one that hasn't gelled yet.
Yes.
And I
that's one of the problems is we don't rock very hard.
Well, I don't know about that. The thing
I don't rock very hard. You okay. actually, yes. Again, you may never hear this, but yeah. hopefully you will. Storm did some shredding.
Yeah.
For the abandoned song.
I've owned an electric guitar for a long time and have sort of dabbled with it. And, you know, for the first time, I did a guitar solo.
Yeah.
An actual guitar solo. And just one of those things, every once in a while, you do something you never thought you'd be able to do in your entire life.
Yep.
And it's not like, you know, I built the Eiffel Tower or anything, but I listen to it and I think that's a guitar solo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was
so nice in theory, possibly at the end of this podcast will be our new Song Foo song, unless we still have some writing and mixing to do. But in either case, it'll be out very soon. So, and voting will start on that. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to paulandstorm.com. All will be made clear.
Oh, and, I have an idea of what I'd like to expose people to. Speaking of guitar solos, or guitar sounds, I'm sorry, am I getting boring?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Sort of part of my inspiration, I mean, of course, every guitarist I've ever heard and that soaked into me, but there's a band called Jukebox the Ghost.
Ah, yes.
And they're this trio that is sort of part Ben Folds Five and part Queen and part all these other things.
Yeah, it's like a piano, guitar, and drums.
And they're all awesome musicians. But since we're talking about guitar at the moment, the guitarist just does all these really neat melodic texture things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was sort of part of what I was trying to do with my limited skill set.
Yeah. There you go. My limited skill set is the new front runner.
That's a title. Pretext for playing this other song that I really
right.
love.
So it's either going to be one or the other.
Right. Right. So where are we going to be?
We are going this weekend on February 13th. We're going to be in Burlington, Iowa. On the 14th, we're going to be in Clear Lake, Iowa. Plenty of tickets still available for the Clear Lake show. And when I say plenty, I mean plenty. So if you know anybody in central northern Iowa, send them to the show because we could use some people there. The next week, both shows are sold out on the 20th at the Birchmere, the 21st at the Ram's Head in Northern Virginia and Annapolis, Maryland, respectively. On the 26th of February, we're at the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin. On the 27th, we're at the History yeah. Theater in St. Paul, Minnesota. And on the 28th, we are at Park West in Chicago.
All three
of those shows with Jonathan Colton. Numerous other shows coming up, including recently confirmed shows in Houston and Austin during the South by Southwest Conference.
Oh, yeah.
And Bay City, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And a probable show at the end of March in New York, New York.
Oh,
once
loving
again.
It. So go to paulandstorm.com for everything else. And until next week or so, I am Storm.
And I am Paul.
And we have been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. 'Tis the end.
Go do things. What's this? Blah, 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 blah. Boom. Do, do, ba, ba, ding, ba, ding, ba, ba. Find a djembe, hippie start to drum. People hear the djembe, people start to run. Hippie with a djembe,
hippie with the djembe.
Hippie with a djembe, see the hippie play. Hippie with a djembe,
hippie with the djembe.
Hippie with a djembe, hippie go away.
By the time we got to Woodstock, oh, dude, I'm a nerd.
Hippie take the djembe out into the street. People watch the hippie try to keep the beat. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie with a djembe. See the hippie play. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie go away. Hippie eat burrito. Hippie eat tachito. Hippie eat Doritos. Now his drum's a mess.
Oh man.
Hippie play for hours. Hippie got the power. Hippie skip the shower. Cause it's time to dance. Hippie with a djembe.
Hippie with a
djembe. Smoke another J. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie with a djembe. Swat the flies away. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie with a djembe. See the hippie play. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie with a djembe. Hippie go away.